Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. Rose and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday, September the 5th, 2014. Hope you had a great week and are looking forward to a wonderful weekend. I love Tucson after a rain like last night. I mean, we had about a three-hour kind of a nice steady rain at our home, and then this morning everything looks so fresh. Always looks so beautiful. We are live during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, and we stream, podcast, and archive all of our shows at buckmastershow.com. There's also live streaming at the station's website, kvoi.com, and our media partners on Friday. For sure, we like to do a shout out to TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News, and Sahorita Sun, and our newest media partner, the Tucson Lifestyle Magazine and TucsonLifestyle.com. Thanks to them and all of our media friends. Our Friday Focus interview today is with Rick Myers. Mr. Myers is the treasurer of the Arizona Border Regents. The Regents, of course, oversee Arizona's three state universities. Joining me to question Rick Myers, Sarah Garrett-Gasson is with me in studio. Sarah is editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star and host of the Newsmakers series on the Star's website, Tucson.com.
Yes.
Got it right. All
yes.
right. And Mari Herreras is with us. Mari is a writer for the Tucson Weekly, and she writes not exclusively, certainly, about education, but you write a lot about education.
Yeah, I guess by default it's landed on my lap, right? for many different reasons.
So we'll call you an education writing specialist for the Tucson Weekly.
Oh, dear.
If you have a question or comment about higher education in Arizona, you can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. All comments and questions are welcome. Mr. Myers, I'm sure, would be happy to entertain your questions. We also invite you to be a friend of the Buckmaster Show on our Facebook page. Rick Myers now on the Buckmaster Show live line. Rick, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. How are you?
Doing very well. Thanks for spending part of your lunch hour with us. Lots to talk about concerning higher education. Why don't we begin with enrollment for the three state universities? I know the official numbers will not be out until September 18th, but it's looking pretty good, I guess, for all three of the state schools.
No, it is. Enrollment's up at all three universities. The diversity of the student body is up. Number of out-of-state students is up, so we're firing on all cylinders.
Give me some numbers. It looked like, what, NAU had a nearly 5,000 student boost for its freshman class. Why the big jump there? I guess it's a 5% bump over the previous year.
Yeah, well, you're looking at, you have to look at online as well as on-campus students and the remote campuses. So it's really showing that NAU is reaching out across the state and doing a great job of getting more students. We've also had a major program in place on transfer students. You know, as we know, the cost of universities has gone up as our ability from the state to fund the universities has gone down. And one of the ways students can save money is to spend the first couple of years in a university-certified program at a community college, get that experience and get those courses underway, and then transfer to the universities. And we've been dramatically upping our transfer students as well.
Rick Myers is with us. Mr. Myers is the treasurer of the Arizona Border Regents. We're talking about enrollment. Arizona State University in Tempe reported an overall enrollment of more than 82,000 students up at ASU. That's an 8% jump from last year. And at the U of A, the enrollment is up about 3% now, almost 42,000 students. Kind of a general question about enrollment. Are we reaching kind of a saturation point at some of these schools, or do we still have room to grow?
No, we have significant room to grow. If you look at ASU as an example, you know, they have four major campuses. So they're growing their downtown, they're growing their west campus, they're growing their Polytech campus. If you look at what the Regents have put in place, we've established a goal for Arizona in 2020 that our adult population has the same educational achievement as the national average. Right now, we have about 28% of our adults, people over 25 years of age is the definition, that have a four-year degree. We have about 33-34% of our adults that have a four-year degree or an associate's degree from a community college. That's a few percentage points under the national average. That means we have a few hundred thousand fewer workers that have that kind of education in our workforce here in the state. So we're trying to make Arizona more competitive, and to do that, we have to educate a higher percentage of our students.
Okay, Sarah Garrett-Gasson is here from the Star. Sarah, go ahead. You're with Rick Myers.
I wanted to ask, as the Tucsonan on the board, you have, I think, I don't know if it's a special affinity. I know you love all the universities equally. But one of the things that we heard with the talk of the UA Health Center and Banner Health was that it turns out that over the years, the quality of the UMC or UAMC had been kind of declining. And that's not something that I think the general public really knew and kind of came as a surprise. So I'm wondering, as the larger university, the main campus of the U of A, one of the questions I think that's logical to ask from that is, how is the quality of the overall University of Arizona? Have we also kind of, as the larger picture, been undergoing a decline over the past years that maybe we haven't heard about? What do you think about that?
Well, Sarah, it's a good question. First of all, U of A is an outstanding university. It still is, and we're going to make sure it stays that way. Same thing is at the hospital. I mean, I think I'm not disagreeing with your comment, but I'd add a little bit that the quality of patient care has been outstanding. What suffered is our ability as a standalone hospital to provide the cash flow to support medical education and medical research. And the idea of the Banner deal is to give us a much stronger private nonprofit partner from now on to work with the university to help us to invest so we can grow the quality of our medical school. The hospital can be even more competitive financially so it can spin off the cash that can support the university. U of A is the 18th ranked university in the country in terms of research, which is extremely good. It's a member of the top group of research universities in the country. And we expect it to stay that way. But the last few years, that's flattened out. U of A's research has actually dropped off a little bit in the last couple of years. So Dr. Hart, as she's put her strategic plan together, is very focused on what type of public-private partnerships, what type of investment from the states, how do we prioritize some of the work at the university so we can assure that we don't just maintain the high quality we have, that we become even more competitive and even stronger as we move forward.
Just a quick follow-up to that. Old Main, the donations to renovate and then bring in the president's office and suite of offices, that was supposed to be done through private donations. We heard a little while ago that those donations weren't coming in. So do you have the money now?
No, we don't yet. But, you know, I've talked to Jim Moore, who's a very strong president of the foundation. What Jim will tell you is that typically on these donations to capital projects like the Cancer Center in Phoenix and the Old Main on the main campus, you tend to get the gifts after it's built, after people actually see what you've accomplished. So the Cancer Center is in the middle of construction. Old Main's just opened up. I was just through it the other day. It's if you're gonna save an old building, certainly the first building for the university is one to save. It's been done very tastefully. It really gives you the sense of what Arizona's investment was in higher education over 100 years ago. And having Dr. Hart over there now, they have admissions on the first floor. You know, all the students are coming in, the new students, and they're going upstairs, and the president's coming out and meeting them. It's made her and the whole sense of the president's office much more accessible to the rest of campus. So I know the regents are very pleased with it, and I know Jim's confident that now that it's done, and people and the alumni start to see it, that we'll get significant contributions to help pay for it.
All right. Rick Myers is with us, treasurer of the Arizona Board of Regents, and Mari Herreras is here from The Weekly. And Mari, it's your turn.
Hey, Rick, I'm curious. You know, Dr. Sue Sisley has been in the news. We did a story on her research at the U of A and her termination. And I know that one of the things that she did as part of trying to keep her research in Arizona was to find another school, an Arizona school that would be happy to take that on, her research with marijuana and veterans with PTSD. I understand that part of that was lobbying with the, or at least, you know, hoping to get the Arizona Board of Regents to look a little closer at her case, but that was unsuccessful. And now I hear today that Colorado is interested, University of Colorado is interested in her research. Any loss in that, do you feel for Arizona and research and U of A in particular as a research institution?
Well, you know, let me say that first of all, the regents and the universities have nothing against marijuana research. I mean, and if we can help our veterans and if we can show that marijuana is a way of helping them with some of the conditions they're coming back from war with, we all want to be supportive of that. You know, I can't comment on U of A's decision to not renew the contract for her. It's a personnel item between her and the university, but you know, I can say we've reached out and said that we are happy to conduct this type of research, and we would be anxious to continue the research. The university, though, has chosen not to continue the relationship with that particular researcher.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. Rick Myers will stay through the break. We'll be back with him, 790-2040. When we come back, it's been a banner year for the University of Arizona when it comes to technology commercialization at the University of Arizona. We'll find out about that and why that is important to all of us in the Arizona economy right after this.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Everyone is invited to tour Veterinary Specialty Center Tucson during its all-day 10th anniversary celebration Saturday, October 4th. There will be something for everyone, including live action in the surgery department and doctor dress-up for the kids. Plus, your tour pass doubles as a raffle ticket with a chance to win great prizes. Veterinary Specialty Center Tucson at North La Cañada Drive and West River Road, home of Specialty Vets for Special Pets. Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It's the Buckmaster Show on this Friday afternoon. Our Friday Focus interview today, Rick Myers is with us. Rick is treasurer of the Arizona Board of Regents, which oversees the three state universities. Sarah Garrett Gasson is here from the Arizona Daily Star, and Mary Herreras is here from the Tucson Weekly. I want to talk a little bit, Rick, about what turned out to be a pretty good year for Tech Launch Arizona. This is pretty important to the Arizona economy in the fiscal year. The U of A executed 39 exclusive licenses and 72 total licenses, among other successes. And this is a big deal to our economy, isn't it?
No, absolutely. You know, when you look at research universities like U of A, they have three missions. One's to educate, one's to innovate, and one is to impact society. And TechLaunch is a part of that impacting society. How do we take the innovation, the ideas that are coming out of the university, and get them into the positive use of people in society? And part of that is commercialization. So these 72 licenses are taking technology developed at the universities and putting them in the hands of new startup companies, current companies that exist, to help them with new products to make them stronger. All of this to help drive economic vitality. We had 11 startup companies this year, which is more than U of A had, I think, in the prior 5 years. So there's really David Allen, who's come in from Colorado as part of Ann Hart's team, I think has really done a great job putting a culture in place to work with the U of A faculty to figure out how they can be more effective in getting their ideas into use in society.
How about the Tech Park, which is celebrating its 20th anniversary? How is the occupancy doing over at the Tech Park?
Well, Bruce Wright tells me he's doing very good, and they're excited. I think as we're coming out of this great recession, they're renewing their efforts to reach out and look at areas of growth and how they can continue to make that Tech part an important part of Tucson's economy.
Here's Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Star.
A question that I think is something that comes up in the political season, and I'm not asking you for a political endorsement, but one of the questions with Fred Duval and his campaign for governor, he's a former regent, and is the tuition went up while he was on the Board of Regents. Could you explain, which I think just is my own opinion, is only a fraction of the story. I mean, the regents, yes, you set tuition, but you have to work with what you have. Could you kind of walk us through what the regents do, what you have to work with in terms of setting tuition, and could you kind of shed some light on that?
Okay. Well, you know, if you look at the education part of the universities, we primarily get funding from two places, the state and from the families and the students themselves. And there's some donors and other people who give money for scholarships, but, 95% of the money comes from those two places. And during the Great Recession, the state cut back its funding for our three universities from about $1.1 billion a year they cut it down to under $700 million a year. Percentage-wise, that was the largest cut in the country. And I'm not trying to criticize our state legislature and our governor, because this state went through one of the toughest economic times of any of the states in the country, so there's only so much money to go around. So when they went through those cuts, we also grew at the universities over 20,000 new students. So we had more students to educate, a lot less money from the state. And as I said, the only other place to get it is really from the students and their families. We raised tuition significantly, which none of us had a smile on our face when we did that. But I would say where our tuition is today at the three universities is at about the average of each of their peers. Now, we'd certainly love to be lower than that, but we're not up among the top tier. We're at about average of each of those. And we've also substantially increased financial aid to try to maintain access through that period. And as I said, our latest classes had more socioeconomic diversity than we've ever had before. So it's not a good thing place we want to be, that we want to keep raising tuition. I mean, we absolutely don't want to do that. We want to partner with the state to figure out how we can provide enough funding so that we can keep these universities accessible. And as I used an example before, partnering more with the community colleges, try to provide alternative pathways. So it's not just paying tuition to the universities, but it's looking at overall cost of obtaining a degree and what options we can put on the table to help people to reduce that.
All right, Don, we're going to go to the live line. Tom has been waiting patiently. He wants to know, Rick Myers, about privatizing the universities. Is that your question, Tom?
Yes, that's my question.
Yeah, well, okay. Let's see what Mr. Myers says about privatization. And actually, it's not such a bad question because the universities, by almost default, have had to move in that direction because of the cutbacks in state funding. Correct, Rick?
No, it's true. I look at that a couple different ways. I mean, when people founded our state and they put the Constitution together, you know, they very much focused on, if we're going to have a successful state, we need to have an educated population that can make decisions in a democracy, that can build economic vitality. And I think all of us firmly believe that. So, you know, I don't want to give up on the idea that these universities exist to help Arizona be more competitive, to help the people of Arizona realize their potential. At the same time, the money is not as prevalent as it used to be. The overall budgets for the universities are over $4.5 billion. And as I said, we're getting about $700 million a year from the state. Now, some of that is the $1 billion of money they bring in every year in research. And that's money they bring in from the federal government, from companies. It's money brought to this state that wouldn't be coming here if we didn't have our universities. That's creating jobs, creating new ideas, creating some of this thing we just talked about with Tech Launch, which is going to help the economy in the future. So, I think there's this balance between how do we provide high quality, how do we have the biggest positive impact on the state, and how can we do it with as few of the precious dollars that the state has as possible. And it's a balance we need to work towards. I think the idea, though, that some people bring up, and I'm not saying you are, but that we should just privatize it and ignore the state, mm-hmm. I would never want us to go there. I mean, I don't want these to be private universities that exist for themselves. I really want to make sure we always maintain that these universities are here to serve the state of Arizona.
Okay, let's bring Mari Herreras back into the conversation. Mari from The Weekly. Go ahead, Mari.
The UVA hasn't always done, at least historically, such a great job in terms of recruiting minority students. But this past year, there's definitely been an increase in terms of grad students and undergrad as well. But it still doesn't reflect the general population of the state and isn't really even close to catching up to where it should have been several years ago. Is that on your radar at all, Rick? And how do you see Never Settle and other universities addressing this issue?
No, it absolutely is on our radar, and Dr. Hart, you know, is very focused. Melissa Vito, the head of student affairs, you know, has it as the number one thing in her list of priorities is to go figure out how we grow the student body, and we grow the student body with an eye on providing access to all people in the state of Arizona. So I know they're looking at many new innovative ways of doing that. They're working with, you know, with different organizations to provide more scholarship opportunities for students from certain socioeconomic sectors. Again, you know, part of the problem we have, to be very honest, in today's system is there's not a lot of scholarship money available. Our state also happens to be one of about five states in the nation that don't have a significant states-based scholarship program. So we're having to use institutional funds to fund most of our financial aid for giving access to different populations of students. So it's a, you know, it's a tough environment that we're in, and Dr. Hart, though, has it as a very high priority. And you know, we're not going to be better as a state if we don't help everyone in the state to be better.
The percentage-wise of minorities has been going up. Do you have that number, that percentage of minorities now at the University of Arizona?
Yeah, I don't have it off the top of my head. I know it's been going up, but mm-hmm. you know, our goal again is to reflect the population of Arizona. Again, that's back to the point of these being state institutions. They're not here to serve the rich. They're not here to serve only certain segments of our society. They're here to offer opportunity to everyone who wants a higher education. And, you know, that's a discussion I get into a lot, with, especially with people in the legislature. You know, last year there was a lot of rhetoric about, are we over-educating the people of Arizona, and everybody doesn't need a four-year degree. And my response to that is, absolutely, everyone doesn't. And we need people in trades and technical fields. I mean, there's so many things we need to be a healthy society. But we need enough people with higher education to be competitive so that we attract the high-wage companies and have the kind of economy we need. And right now, the population in Arizona is among the lower in terms of people with advanced degrees, with four-year degrees.
All right,
and
we're going to leave it
right. Our job is to make that.
Thank you, Rick Myers. We're going to leave it right there. We do appreciate you spending a half an hour with us on the Friday Buckmaster Show. Thanks, Rick.
Oh, thank you all very much.
Thanks a lot. Rick Myers with us on the Buckmaster Show. He's the treasurer of the Arizona Board of Regents. Coming up now on 12:32, Sarah and Mari will stick around and we'll talk about the news of the week as we continue with our roundtable portion of the Buckmaster Show. So stay with us.
Hey, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman from 5-Star Termite and Pest Control. You got bugs? They driving you up the wall? I'm telling you, you will not be sorry. You call my friend Shelby Hawkins at 886-0045. They are more than competent. They're very economical. And check this out. They're friendly to our environment. 886-0045.
We're 5-Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. There's always a party or event going on somewhere, thanks to Arizona Party Rental. We're ready to roll out the red carpet for you. Hey, U of A basketball fans, let's hear what radio analyst Ryan Hansen has to say.
Hi, I'm Ryan Hansen, Arizona basketball radio analyst and vice president with Bon Voyage Travel. Our mission at Bon Voyage is to take the stress out of your travel planning. Our travel advisors will handle all of the details so you can prepare for your trip without the hassles. During my career with Arizona Athletics and Bon Voyage Travel, I've always counted on Arizona Party Rental for my event planning needs. They've handled the details with ease and made it a stress-free experience. Their customer service and knowledge make the party a 5-star outing. If you're looking for help planning your next trip, come to the professionals at Bon Voyage. If you're looking for help planning your next event, go to the professionals at Arizona Party Rental.
Thanks a lot, Ryan. Nice call. And a high five to your team at Bon Voyage Travel. Arizona Party Rental on Speedway or online at arizonapartyrental.net.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Get Cox Business Internet and voice for only $99 per month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get your first month free. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 1/4/15. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tanque Verde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Welcome back to the Friday Roundtable on the Buckmaster Show, 12:36 our time. Mari Herreras is here, a staff writer with the Tucson Weekly, and Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer, columnist, host of the Newsmaker series on Tucson.com, which is the Arizona Daily Star's website. Sarah's pumping the water, as I have. I'm on my second bottle of Culligan water here, and ever since I got back from the trip, Mari and Sarah, I don't know, the dryness has been bothering me, and it's not that dry. I mean, it rained.
Yeah, that huge storm.
Yeah, so
there's allergies.
Sort of
there's
it's got to be something in the air that a little bit maybe allergic to, but are you going to have another sip of water,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, that's great.
Another
of course,
sip of Culligan water. the Tesla thing, I've got my own theory about this Tesla deal. I think that Tesla pretty much all along had decided Nevada was the pick. Nevada has no state taxes. These huge batteries that they'll be producing, they have to have that rail line. Not that we don't have a rail line, but they have really good access there in Reno to California, so they can get that going. And I think, I have nothing to back this up, just my theory, that they got together, the marketing people of Tesla, and they said, you know, we know Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, California, they'd love to have these jobs, thousands of jobs. Let's just see what kind of deal they might put together, and maybe we can sweeten our situation with Nevada.
Oh, I think it's common sense. Of course, it's business. You want to get the best deal you possibly can, so why not make cities play off each other and try to get the best
and
deal?
And states. Yeah. The states playing off each
Absolutely.
Other.
Absolutely. No, I mean, it's not something that I think you're right in that Tucson may not have ever really been in the running. It may have been a foregone conclusion that it's Reno. I mean, proximity does count for a lot. And also, there are conversations to be had about, did we do enough? Were we going to offer too much? Mm-hmm. What do we go? Where do we go from here? And I think there might be kind of that kind of jilted at the altar kind of feeling.
Well, we did issue, Mari, a business license to them, even though they, you know, weren't and aren't coming. But the city, I think, feels that this shows that they're proactive in trying to make this, you know, welcome businesses.
Yeah, they're trying to definitely spin this so that they can show the naysayers of Tucson, which there are always, that Tucson is business friendly and that they went out of their way to do as much as possible. But you're always going to have the other side of that be that, oh, we didn't do enough, or after a while, I think it still always brings up the same question of like, are the business groups that we have out there, the economic programs, are they doing what they're supposed to do? Do we really need them? I mean, when we have all these things like this happen, I mean, I think that's the other question I always wonder, like, do we really need TILO? Do we need these other groups? Because it seems like it's always out of our hands anyway to begin with.
Right. I mean, these are huge companies making business bottom line decisions that are going to benefit themselves. I mean, we could issue them we'll have a parade every day for you. And at some point, they're just going to come down and it's a business decision.
Yeah,
so we can't know unless someone calls and says, hey, what did we do wrong? Can we learn from this?
Yeah.
And maybe there's an opportunity for that. But I don't know that Tucson should beat itself up too much for not getting
Tested. And remember, this is the same company that broke ground twice in different locations. Albuquerque thought they had a huge deal going. Yes, they did. They broke ground. They had a big thing. We're going to bring in thousands of jobs to New Mexico. And then Tesla decided, no, we're not going to go to New Mexico. So,
They
get a lot of publicity, if nothing else. Tom is with us on the Buckmaster Show. Tom, you have a question or comment about Tesla?
Hey, what the heck? My question on Tesla is, was TRIO involved in any meaningful way? We pay that organization a huge amount of money. They never seem to really snag anything. But to the best of your knowledge, was TRIO involved in actually trying to market Tucson?
Yes, they were. I know that for a fact. TRIO was involved in this deal to try to convince Tesla to come. But again, I don't think you can blame TRIO. I just think that this was a foregone conclusion about Tesla deciding that we're going to see what we can get out of Nevada. Well, they wound up, by the way, with a huge tax break, Mari.
They did.
It's over. In Nevada, it's going to give them like $1.5 billion tax break.
Right. That's just huge. I mean, it's mind-bogglingly huge.
I mean, considering
huge.
What we owe schools in this state, I just don't see how we would have been able to offer them any kind of a break like that. Plus, I mean, look at the fact that Governor Perry of Texas, you know, drove a Tesla battery car all the way to California to say, please, come to my state. And they said no to him, too. So didn't seem to be a winner there.
We had the very close race that could be very close. I have not seen polling on it. David Garcia in the Democrat versus Diane Douglas, the Republican for the superintendent of schools. I find this a very interesting race because Diane Douglas made Common Core, her wanting to do away with Common Core, the main issue in her primary fight to try to get rid of Superintendent Hoopenthal. And she was successful. She plays to her base, and that base does not want federal intervention in our schools when it comes to standards, Common Core standards.
I would like, just out of curiosity, to have, sometimes I wonder if people who fight against Common Core, and I don't want Common Core, if they could explain it accurately and understand really what it is and what it's not. But I think she ran as a one-dimensional, one-issue race. I think John Hoopenthal, the incumbent, his
blogging issues.
Yes, his pension.
He's a wounded candidate to begin
right.
with.
Yeah. So I don't know that we should read too much into that because, yes, I think Common Core made a big difference, but I also think, as Mari just said, he was a wounded candidate.
Yeah, if he hadn't had the blogging issues, would he have won the primary?
Oh, I think so. I think he kind of took himself out, as much as he says now that it was all about Common Core, and he did not help himself with his
self-destructive.
I like it. Yes, no, I don't.
He'd
wait,
also
what?
Started to have some problems with his former friends in the legislature too. I mean, there were other issues as well, and you know, there wasn't this perfect storm that existed when he first ran and Horn was running too. And they were all running on this kind of a anti-La Raza platform that certainly helped them back then and wasn't going to help them this time around.
And actually, the Republican superintendents, past superintendents Lisa Graham Keegan and Jaime Malera this week saying that they are not going to endorse Diane Douglas, the Republican. They're going to endorse David Garcia. I don't think this bothers Diane Douglas in the least, because it actually plays into her base saying that these are establishment people that are saying I'm not the right candidate.
Right. You want to kind of curry the favor of, to be able to say, you know, the establishment doesn't like me. They're afraid of me. I have them running scared. But also, I think people need to understand that the superintendent of public instruction, while it is the top elected education official in the state, can't wave a magic wand and say, we're not going to have Common Core. We're not going to have the testing. We're not going to do all of this. So I think
it would be up to the legislature to dissolve Common Core, correct?
Right. And they were the ones that approved it and renamed it. Yeah. But so it's not something that I think is a one issue candidate. The reality of what that person in the job would be able to do if Douglas were elected would be a very big disappointment to the people who were thinking that if we just get her in there, she'll get rid of Common Core, because it can't happen.
And thanks, Rose. I think it is time to pull down some of the signs that are out there for the candidates who did not win the primary, and mainly the corner that I see every day at Swan and River. I would really, really like to see some of those signs.
My Sharpie will be coming out soon.
My goodness.
I didn't say that.
Let's go, Rose, back to the live line, because Doug has been waiting patiently, and we kind of started all the discussion today about Tesla. And Doug has a comment about, I believe, a manufacturing tax that was passed in 1987. Go ahead, Doug.
Yeah, I hate to move you guys back to the Tesla thing, but also Tom mentioned about the money that is being paid to Trio. Yeah. You know, Trio is only funded about 15% now by the public, and it's mainly privately funded. But do you think there's been any long-range impact from back in 1987? We passed the manufacturing tax, and that's when IBM said, if you do that, we're leaving.
Yeah.
And you think that's impacted us over all these years? And then my second question is, you know, if we want to develop, you know, these tech businesses, and you had your guest on earlier talking about that, once people are successful, their companies become big, and then they become corporations. And is that a problem?
Okay, thank you. That was Doug Martin, who owns this radio station. Thanks, Doug, for checking in. I kind of think maybe the 1987, I don't know if it affects the Tesla situation, but that is the kind of thing that can be, weigh down a decision that companies make. If there's this extra problem, why would you want to deal with it? Why, if there's this 1987 tax that's still on the book, why deal with it? It's an excuse to pass Arizona goodbye.
Right. And I have to say, I don't know the ins and outs of the 1987 manufacturing tax, but all of this stuff is gone over, I'm sure, with a fine tooth comb by the business folks, no matter what company it is. And they just make a bottom line decision.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to get to your second part of your question, Doug, there, but I do want to bring in Adriana. Adriana, go ahead.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
So my objection to Common Core overall, that it's not about the standards, as every elected official and everyone who is support of it is claiming that it's about setting standards. My objection is that it's not about the standards. It's about the overall agenda. It's not allowing kids to think for themselves when you teach the basics. It's teaching them how to think and what to think, and that's my objection.
Okay. Thank you, Adriana.
Well, I think we should take a look at Arizona has had academic standards for years. I mean, the idea of standards and shared standards that are common across all schools in the state is not new by any stretch of the imagination. I think Common Core is different in that it doesn't emphasize it's national. I mean, states agree and it's shared across the nation. But the idea of shared standards, you know, like we should in third grade, you should be doing this, knowing this. Here's it, kind of a shared experience. That is not part and parcel unto Common Core.
All right. Quickly, you're just about out of time. Democrat Mark Stegeman, Mari Hereras, is supporting at least one Republican in the TUSD governing board race. What's that all about?
I guess it's all about making sure that he gets some friendly people on, and he's not back to being a minority candidate and wants to be back to being a majority, which he was kind of nice, I guess, when back in the old days. And that's ultimately what it's all about, and helping candidates that he believes are like-minded.
And very actively helping candidates paying for petition passers. I mean, that's more than
here, hello.
You know, here's a contribution to someone who I think would be, that's an engagement in a campaign for a potential fellow school board member that I think goes beyond.
Well, and I think it does in the sense that I think is just as people and voters, you know, so 400 signatures is the requirement for the TUSD school
That's
board
all?
Race, I believe, yes. And so it's like, if you can't get those just on your own, you know, going to service club meetings or the people you work with or whatever, and sitting yourself out in a corner someplace. I mean, Debbie doesn't have a foot injury this campaign season as she did last. I mean, she can get around. I don't understand the, you know, why the need anyway, even if it's coming out of Stegeman's pocket and not hers. You know, he could have made a donation, I suppose, and she could have then used that donation to pay for, you know, but at any rate, well, he couldn't pay that much. But I think it's why not do the work it takes instead, especially for a school board race, only requires 400 signatures.
All right, Mari and Sarah, both of you, I hope you have a great weekend. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. Sorry we didn't get a chance to talk about Chuck.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe in the next segment, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you want the great taste of bottled water without the hassle of going to the store, call Culligan and ask us about the Culligan bottled water delivery service, either to your home or to your place of business. Culligan bottled water is as pure as it gets. The basis of the treatment of the bottled water is steam distillation. Its processing and its cleanliness is a healthy alternative to other beverages. Culligan water is fresh and delicious. One sip will tell it all. And since Culligan water is delivered right to your door, residential or business, you won't have to lug heavy bottles. Whether you have city or well water, Culligan can make your water taste better with an easy solution that fits any budget. Right now, for a limited time, you get 30-day full money-back guarantee, trial to include. Water dispenser free for 1 month. Initial 15 gallons of water free. Thereafter, $6 per month on the dispenser and $6.95 per 5-gallon bottle with an annual service agreement. Call Culligan at 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad
is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Oh, we are ready for the weekend. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, Inside Tucson Business, Food and Beverage Columnist and award-winning publicist, brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Great weekend getaway just 3 hours east of Tucson. And this Saturday, it's the Taste of Downtown. Sample the delicious delights of Silver City's downtown eateries. Find out about the great things to do and places to stay, like Cottage of Whispering Canyon, at southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
Hey, Bill, I'm doing great. Nice to have you back, Mr. World Traveler, you.
Well, you know, speaking of world travels, one of our fun destinations that we have visited was Peru. Good food. Yeah.
Absolutely. Peru is a wonderful place from a culinary perspective. And, you know, our friend Chef Janos Wilder at Downtown Kitchen and Cocktails, he's always exploring global culinary influences. And this month, his Downtown Around the Globe series takes us to Lima, Peru, with a special menu that he's created to kind of celebrate the land of the Incas. Now, his appetizers include Peruvian chicken and some crab and octopus dishes, and his main courses dial up some Lima-inspired duck breast, some lamb shank, and, of course, a Peruvian seafood stew. Now, dessert is always a treat in Peru, Bill, as you know, and Janos has nailed it with a banana and tres leches cake and other goodies. Mm. I say take a tour of Lima, Peru this weekend at Downtown Kitchen and Cocktails, right in the heart of downtown, 135 South 6th Avenue.
Can I start my meal with that dessert? Oh, my God.
That's how I roll, Bill. Follow the leader.
It's bite night. What's going on?
Yeah, you know, while everyone is dumping buckets of ice on themselves to raise awareness of ALS, there's going to be several local chefs who are going to be serving their very best tomorrow night at the Westin La Paloma at an event to benefit the local chapter of the ALS Association. So it's called Bite Night, and restaurants such as Poppy Kitchen and Hacienda del Sol, Panka, and so many others, they're going to be treating their guests to a lovely spread of some real delicious dishes, along with wine and craft beer and some live music. I say, where else can you experience so many great restaurants under one roof while supporting a worthy charity? Bite Night sounds perfect for tomorrow, and you don't even need a bucket of ice.
I know, just the words prime rib conjure up a beautiful tender piece of meat, and that's going to be the possibility for folks Sunday night.
Boy, is it ever. Chef Albert Hall at Acacia Real Food and Cocktails, of course, over there on Skyline, just east of Campbell, he's once again rolling out his famous prime rib sundaes throughout the month of September, and for only $26, you can get a huge slab of slow-roasted Angus beef rib with au jus and horseradish cream, twice-baked potato, fresh veggies, the whole slate, all at a place what I think some of the best views in the foothills. You know, Sunday, as you know, means a steak at the Russell House, but this Sunday, Bill, I may just leave the cooking to Albert Hall at Acacia.
Nice column in Inside Tucson Business about the suds, the beer column.
Yeah, you know, there's a new kid on the block in the craft brew scene who's grabbing a lot of attention these days with what he's doing with really unique ingredients. And I ask, how unique is unique? You can read all about it in the current issue of Inside Tucson Business, Bill.
Good weekend to you, Matt.
Right back to you, sir.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by Culligan. Thank you, Culligan. We really needed the water today. Everybody seemed to have the dry throat, so thank you very much for supplying all of the in-studio guests with a nice chilled bottle of Culligan. The Bill Buckmaster program is produced by Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of our team, the lovely and talented producer, my friend, Rosemary Brandt, and our friends here at KVOI. I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend, and hope it's a good one for you. Remember, all the expert talk starts here tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. on AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice.
Intelligent talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.